Good morning. The reading we have this morning is from John chapter 10, and it's verses 1 to 21. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own account. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. The command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, church.
Morning.
Sorry, I'm lame. Hop along Cassidy this morning. But I've cropped my knee. And so I'm going to sit down if that's all right with you. Have you had a good week?
Yes.
Thank you both. Have you had a good week? I guess some of you have had a good week, others of you had a really difficult week. And that's the reality of life, isn't it? And I guess for most of us it's been a mixture of good and bad. And this morning, as was already mentioned, we're starting this little series on Easter where we'll be focusing, of course, specifically on the central character of Easter, who is Jesus. Don't you just love that name? Jesus. I grew up, as you probably know, I hadn't even heard the word Jesus. I hadn't even heard the word God. And I remember the first time I heard the word God was from a friend. We were playing Cowboys and Indians. That dates me, doesn't it? And we were galloping around. I don't know why we used to do that. We used to pretend we were on a horse. And then he said something like, "Oh God." And I remember thinking, "Oh my word, that's not a, I don't understand what he's saying." I said, "What's God?" So that's the kind of background I was from. And he tried to explain to me as a 5-year-old in his best theology what God was. I had no idea. He said he was somebody who lived in the clouds. And that was my experience of God. Until I sat on the lap of my grandma, my gorgeous grandma. She was half a pint, proper Welsh, about 4'2". The most beautiful smile you've ever seen. And you know, I remember so little of my childhood, but I will never forget her picking me up in her arms and singing me songs of Jesus. Again, I had no idea who this Jesus was, but my grandma loved him. That was a long time ago now. That was over 60 years ago. But it introduced me, not to a concept, but to a person. And this morning, and I hope I've never taught this way, by the way, sitting down, so forgive me. But I've been told I have to get off this leg, otherwise it'll just balloon. And we're going to talk this morning, I'm not sure if we've got a picture, I've only got one, and that is we're going to look at Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And I don't know about you, maybe you want to just say what your favorite title or image of Jesus is. There are many in Scripture. There is Jesus as the living water. There is Jesus as the bread of life. There is Jesus as the King of Kings, the door, the way, the gate, the life, the truth. But probably one of my favorite ones is Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And there's probably a number of reasons for that. I talked to you about coming from a background not of Christian parents, but Christian grandparents. And my Christian grandparents got me involved in a youth group, a bit like Extreme and BX. So thank you, Ruth, and thank you, Alex, for everything that you do there. So often without other people seeing. But who knows that some of the children who are hearing about Jesus, and the only place they will hear about him is through what happens here on a Friday, will grow up to know him as their Good Shepherd. Well, I was 15 years of age, and we were in a place called Llanymowddwy. And that's difficult to say, even if you're Welsh. And I had no idea where Llanymowddwy was. It was just mountains. It was spectacular. Now, I grew up on a mountain in South Wales, but this was mid-Wales. This was not far from Dolgellau, Chantlith, those kind of areas. You know where I am. And so it is God's own garden. And so I was up there with some other young people, and I must confess that I was 15 years of age. I was more interested in what was going to be served at tea time than what the pastor was serving up in the quiet times. That was true. I was also particularly interested in a young lady that was on the youth group as well, and so that distracted me as well. But something must have been registering. And of course, the context of where I was on a farm, this farm in Llanymowddwy. And I'd go out and I'd go to the little shed that was next to the farmhouse, and there were calves in there. And I don't know if you've ever had a calf lick you. It's the most astounding feeling. It's just incredible. Just rough as anything. And so I spent time in with the little calves and just loved that. But probably probably my favorite time there was actually just being out in the fields with the sheep. I don't know what it is. I've just got this incredible love for sheep. Maybe it's because I relate to sheep. Quite dull. Get themselves in all kinds of scrapes. Yeah, I relate to a sheep. And then I remember, and you will have heard me say this, I've been your pastor for a little while now. It was a Friday evening, and the pastor opened the Bible again and started talking about Jesus who died for me. And there was something that happened that night. Something changed in my heart. Now you can use all kinds of theological terms, but actually what I know is that I came alive that night in Jesus. The Holy Spirit came and came upon this spotty 15-year-old rugby playing high school kid who knew diddly squat, frankly. But I found out that night that Jesus loved me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. See, the Bible told me that, but my heart exploded with the truth of it. I remember crying like a baby, which is not cool for a 15-year-old boy. And I couldn't stop. And there were tears of sadness, because for the first time in my life, I'd realized why Jesus went to a cross. None of it made sense before that. I couldn't understand why people would call Friday Good Friday when somebody was killed like that. It was only on that Friday, when I became a Christian, that I realized the people who call it good, it was because Jesus died for us, voluntarily, so that we could be part of his family. So there were tears for the sin that took Jesus there. But there were also incredible tears of joy that I was at last in his family. And I could know him as Lord, yes. But I could know him as a friend. But also in the context I was in, I could know him as a shepherd. Now, I don't know what comes to mind for you when you think of a shepherd. I wonder if you can shout out. So when you think of a shepherd, what does a shepherd do for the sheep?
Protect.
Sorry?
Protects.
Protects. Thank you. I think that was Claire. Thank you, Claire. Protects. And that's the first thing I've got on my notes, actually, Claire. So that's really good. I'll pay you a fiver later for that one. That's great. Let me just read it again to you. See, because it was very difficult for me all those years ago to think of these sheep being in any danger. Because on this Welsh mountain, you know, it wasn't full of bears and lions. But even in Wales, sheep are in danger, actually, of dogs. And so the farmer would tell me about the sheep that he'd lost because of some dogs had got loose and actually come in and hurt the flock. But in the time of Jesus, the sheep really were in danger if the shepherd was not on his mettle. Let's read again from verse 11 what Jesus says about the good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. And please hear this, because this is not some random truth. This is a truth for you, okay? I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We're all sheep here. And Jesus laid down his life for you as well as me. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. Might look like a shepherd, talk like a shepherd, walk like a shepherd, but he ain't a shepherd. because they're just the hired hands. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus said, I'm not a hired hand. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Is that comfort for anybody here? About how the shepherd knows me by name. It's quite incredible. One of the things I could see from the farmer, the shepherd, looking after the flock, he would just stand there. He would just know his sheep. I must be honest, all I could see were balls of fluff. But he knew them. And the fact that the God who created the cosmos here this morning is with us and knows you, knows every intimate detail about you, the stuff we're proud of and the stuff that frankly we hope never gets out of that cupboard. And yet he loves you and adores you. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And he says it again. And I lay down my life for the sheep. It's wonderful having you here this morning. Great if you're joining us online. And I do believe that you're not here by accident. I do believe that there's this divine plan that somehow God wants you to be able to hear from his word this morning about you being precious to him. So much so that he died that you might be able to live. In this chapter, you have that incredible verse, verse 10, which is made up of two parts. The first part is the job description of Satan, our enemy. And that he wants to steal your life. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He's got a great marketing team, but that's what his job description is. And then Jesus said, actually, my description is that I want to breathe life into you. Abundant life, so that you might know freedom and joy and peace. Who doesn't want that? And that is what is on offer for all of us this morning. We've just been doing a series on that. So if you want to catch up on that, then please, you can do that. Just go to our YouTube channel and you can follow up on that. And I just want to talk here about the difference between a shepherd and a hired hand, because there are people in our lives who we think are shepherds. Think of people who are going to be there for us, who are never going to fail us. They're never going to drop us. But actually, when the heat comes, then actually they're missing in action. And the older you get, and of course I've been on the planet a while now, you spend time with people in their living room or over a coffee, in a noisy cafe, and they talk to you about things in their heart that are so painful because they've dared to trust somebody they thought was a shepherd and turns out that they were a hired hand. Happens to us all of the time. For some of you, it's happened on more than one occasion. I could tell you story after story of people who've talked to me about how they've dared to invest their life in another person and for them to have broken their hearts into pieces and they just don't think they'd be able to put their lives back together again. And I think a couple of things happens there. One, you begin to lose trust in people. But also, dare I say it, we begin to lose trust in God. Because we ask this question, God, how could you have allowed that to happen to me? Well, I want to take you to Calvary. And I want you to take you to a place where Jesus knows about being betrayed by others. About being treated badly by others. Literally broken in terms of relationship between himself and his Father. And next week, Nigel's going to be talking to us about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, because Jesus is not only the good shepherd, he's also the lamb that was actually slain for us. And so I totally get it when people say, Dave, I'm sorry, I can't trust God because some people have let me down so badly. And they'll say to me, Dave, how can you believe in Christianity when Christians can behave so badly? And I said, well, yeah, we can behave so badly. I'm capable of behaving badly. We all are. I said, but I don't look at people. I look at Jesus. I look at the one who, when it gets tough, he stays there. And he won't move. And in fact, if anything, he will lay down his life rather than us get injured. And that is exactly what he did at Calvary. So when people say to me, Dave, how can you trust a God like that? I point them to Calvary. I point them to history about what actually happened when the tough disappeared into night. But the real man stood there in our place. And this morning, I just want to say to you again, dare to trust in God. And we know what people can do to us. We know what we can do to people. But look beyond the people and look to Jesus, our good shepherd, who doesn't run when the going gets tough. I want you to look as well about the one who knows and cares for the sheep. In verse 3 it says, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Have you heard Jesus call you by name? Have you heard Jesus call you by name?
Yes.
And I don't say it with any kind of arrogance at all, because I have no idea why Jesus would actually be interested in me. But I knew that night on that farm all those years ago, he said, David, I love you. I gave myself for you. He knew me. He knew all about me. And he knows all about you. Sue and I, I've shared this with you before, but Sue and I love farming programs. We were watching one last night, actually. Matt Baker on a farm. And one of the things that we appreciate so much is how the farmer or the shepherd just knows what's going on with the sheep. And they can see, they can spot that perhaps it's not walking, it's limping or whatever. And I'm just conscious we've got some people from a farming background here who are far more qualified to talk about this than I. But they can spot a problem. And I mentioned to you before, all I see is a great big bit of wool. But they can spot. And so they go and they want to help that sheep. So guess what happens? Do you think the sheep stays where it should stay and goes, here I am, I need help? No, they scarper and they have to wrestle with this sheep to try and help the sheep. And the sheep struggles and it tries to run and it does all manner of things. But the farmer, who's usually really strong, will just hold it. Sometimes they'll put it onto their quad or whatever and take it back to wherever it is. And then you see either a problem with the foot of the sheep, or you'll see, they'll open some up and you'll see maggots. And it's just horrendous, this horrendously. And the sheep is running away from being helped. Anybody relate to that with God? Do you know, it's incredible. We know we've got a problem. We might have got an addiction. We might have got a habit that's really, really embarrassing us. But instead of going to God, we try and pretend and we run away. So, don't worry, you're not the first to have done it. Adam and Eve did it all those years back. They heard God in the garden and they scarpered. And we've been doing it ever since. And so what I want to offer you this morning, it's a beautiful invitation. It's not from me, but it's from Jesus. Stop running and let me help you. Stop running and let me heal you. Stop running and let me put you back together. It's a beautiful invitation. Last Sunday, Alex wonderfully led us in a service which talked about surrender. Sometimes surrender doesn't come easy to us. We're like those sheep. We know we need help, but we're heading for the hedge. I pray this morning that we'll allow Jesus to take us like the sheep up in his arms and heal us. Last point I want to share this morning is a shepherd is someone who leads us into green pastures. Okay, so when we were talking about shepherds right at the start of our conversation this morning, was there a psalm that came to mind? Psalm 23. And how does that start off? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or as one translation puts it, the Lord is my shepherd, I've everything I need.
Yeah.
And see, that is the testimony, and I don't want to be trite here, because as Christian people, knowing Jesus doesn't mean that it's a walk in the park. Some of you, over many years, have gone through an incredibly difficult season. Some of you are going through a difficult season right now. But this is the thing. The shepherd promises to lead us through those difficult, arid, dangerous, painful pieces of ground. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Can I please say to you, as your pastor, someone who is growing to love you very much, that there's too much nonsense said from a pulpit that you come to know Jesus and all your problems will go away. It's just not true. When Jesus said, follow me, where did he go? He went to Gethsemane and he went to Calvary. And the reality is that by following Jesus, the likelihood is you're going to experience pain. You're going to experience pain for different reasons. But one of the primary reasons is that it's often pain that God uses to actually refine us into the people that he longs for us to be. It's actually in those dark and difficult areas where our character gets forged in that refinery, where holiness starts to take shape. It doesn't happen on a beach. It doesn't happen in the summer. It's often through those dark valleys. And I've said this to you so many times, that God is far more interested in our character than in our comfort. Now, that doesn't mean that we want to stay in those seasons like that. And that's why God says, I will lead you through them. But if we've been watching our TVs, you know that actually on this earth, you're not promised a happy ever after. But this life is not the ever after for us. We have been promised. And then one of the things for me, one of the privileges as a man who conducts funerals, of knowing that the person loves Jesus, I know where they are. And I know where they're going to be for eternity, free from any pain and all of the anguish that actually just followed them through life. And I just want to finish with this story about a couple of missionaries back in the day when people traveled by boat. nor planes. And they were coming back to America. And on the same ship, there was this American statesman. And to welcome the American statesman, there was a band playing. And the husband said to his wife, "Isn't this typical? He's just been off to Africa on holiday, and they welcome him back with a band. We've been serving in Africa for 30 years, and there's no band for us." And his wife said to him, "But we're not home yet. When we go and meet with Jesus, there will not only be a band, but there's going to be a party. And they're going to say, 'Well done, good and faithful servants.'" And that's the reality for us, is that we have to look forward to an eternal life which cannot spoil or perish or fade. I can't promise you that kind of happiness and easiness in this life. I can't. Jesus doesn't. But he said, "One day, because I have conquered death, you will know life and peace and joy for eternity."
Yeah.
Shall we pray?
Yeah.
To the Good Shepherd. Jesus, how we love you. But help us to love you more. We thank you, Jesus, that you are so faithful. We also thank you that you are so courageous in going through what you went through because of your deep love for us. Help us today to respond. Help us not to run away. But help us indeed just to allow you to take us in your arms and do what you want with us. Give us a clearer vision of you as our shepherd, of our saviour, and our friend. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, and thank you for coming. And if you're a visitor here this morning, make sure that you make yourselves known to somebody as you are having coffee and tea. God bless you.